Have you ever seen a movie where at the beginning of the movie it starts out the whole story with the birth of a baby who ends up being the main character of the story and becomes such a part of the whole plot of the story? Or maybe you've read a book that's begun with the birth of someone who ends up being the hero of the story, and the whole story is based on that particular person that was born in the very beginning. Well, as we begin our study in Luke chapter 1 and 2 that we're going to be talking about until Christmas, we come to a story that's an awful lot like this in Luke's gospel. We have to be reminded and understand the purpose that Luke wrote his gospel. If we remember in the beginning, he was writing to someone named Theophilus, stating that others had undertaken the task of drawing up an account of the things that had been fulfilled as they were handed down by those who were eyewitnesses of those things that had been fulfilled. And Luke was saying that he himself undertook this task, carefully investigating everything from the beginning, because it seemed like the right thing to do to write an orderly account of all these things, so that Theophilus would know the certainty of the things that were taught. So you see, it was important for Luke to write in an orderly fashion about the things that were fulfilled that they had seen. And specifically, he's talking about the things that were fulfilled in the man Jesus of Nazareth. If we remember, the Old Testament prophecy from the 7th chapter of Isaiah says that the Lord himself will give us a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And as we begin in Luke's study here, we start to see, as Luke is writing in an orderly fashion about the things that were fulfilled, he is writing specifically about the fulfillment of God's promise through the prophet Isaiah. And as we come to our reading today, we see that there were two people and two events. Two women who were favored. Elizabeth in chapter 1, verse 25. She became pregnant for 5 months, remained in seclusion, and she proclaimed, "The Lord has done this for me." She said, "He's shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." So we see that she considered herself favored. Also, when Mary came to her, she considered herself favored. We see the second woman is Mary in 5 verses later. When Mary, or the angel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid, you found favor with God." So we see two women who were favored, Elizabeth and Mary. Now we have to understand that this word favor that would have been used in the Greek was implying a condition of being graced by someone. A condition of being graced by someone. So it was not a title that these people took. It was a condition of being graced by someone, and in both cases, it was God. That they were given a special gift, a special endowment that they did not deserve. And that was the favor or the grace of God. We see also that there's two visitations in these first two chapters of Luke's Gospel by God's messenger Gabriel. One to Zechariah concerning a son who would be a messenger of what was to come. If you know anything about the story, Zechariah was a priest. He was fulfilling his priestly duties in the temple. The angel Gabriel came to him and said, "You're going to have a son. You're to give him the name John. And he'll go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. He'll go on proclaiming and prophesying and pronouncing that Jesus is the Messiah. First of all, that he's coming, and then there he is. Look, the Lamb of God," as he said to the people as Jesus came by the Jordan River. The second visitation was to a Jewish girl named Mary, who was a virgin at the time. And this visitation was concerning a son who would be God's son and who would become a great king. Now, imagine how you would feel and your reaction to this. Mary must have had some knowledge of Scripture and prophecy. Because as we look ahead in verses 54 and 55, she's praising God because he's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, as he said to our fathers. So she must have had some understanding that through Abraham, all people would be blessed, and that the Messiah would come through the lineage of Abraham. She must have had some kind of knowledge about how this king was to come into the world. And when the angel Gabriel came to her and told her that you're going to have a son, and he's going to be named Jesus, and he's going to be that king, how would you have felt that God chose you to be that vessel? Luke writes that Mary said, "How will this be? How will this be? He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be?" Now, come on. In our day and age, we would have looked at the angel and said, "No way!" And the angel would have said, "Way." Right? Or, "Get out!" Right? So, you see, the reason it's that Luke writes this is because this isn't really what's important at the point. Mary is saying, "How will this be? Gabriel, don't you know? I'm a virgin. No, no way. I'm a virgin. This can't happen. How will this be?" And the angel proceeds to tell Mary God's plan and his working in Elizabeth, which would seem to be impossible. "The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And in fact, the angel says, "Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is now in her 6th month. It was a double whammy, the angel was proclaiming. And the angel says to her, "Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God." Luke says in his orderly account that he carefully investigated. The angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." Are you starting to see between the lines to what Luke is really trying to tell Theophilus and us today as we read this? Luke isn't writing to tell us how wonderful Mary or Elizabeth are. He's trying to tell his readers about the far-reaching faithfulness and grace of God to 2 insignificant Jewish girls. No way. These are women in a man's society. One's old and one's a virgin. The angel says, "Nothing's impossible with God." 2 insignificant Jewish girls. Is there anything in the Old Testament prophecies that mention either of them? No. God simply chose them for whatever reason to be his tools. And we see this in the response of Mary. Mary says, "I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said." In faith, she just simply says, "All right, whatever the Lord says, I'm the servant." So these 2 women get together and they go from being favored or graced by God to blessed or blessed. Why? It tells us Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We find the answer in Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, as she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." We can reason that there must have been some conversation about all the events that led up to this time by the words that Elizabeth says in verse 45. "Blessed is she who's believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So at some point, Mary would have had to relay to her what the angel said and how what the angel said now is coming true. The angel said that Elizabeth already is pregnant and you will have a baby. But I want you to understand something. This word "blessed" here says something good about someone. It's a compliment, sort of like saying, "You're awesome. You're awesome." And you see, what Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, was doing was complimenting Mary. You're awesome among all women. You're the awesomest. And your child's awesome. Why am I so favored that she should come to me? You're awesome because you believe that the Lord said this was going to happen. Mary, you're awesome. I can't believe it. No way. You're so awesome, Mary. You're so blessed. And Mary gives the glory to God that He deserves for the gift that He's given her. And that gift is grace. She had experienced His favor, His grace. He had graced her, and it was awesome that God would do this. Why would God do this? Well, didn't He say He would? Didn't He say in the prophets that a virgin would bear a child? Didn't the angel of God say that she would be with child? And the name that she was to give Him was Jesus. Do you know what Jesus means? It's pronounced in the Greek Jesus. It's of Hebrew origin. And in Hebrew it's Yahshua. Yahshua. And that word Yahshua comes from two Hebrew words, Jehovah and Yasha. When you put them together, it means Jehovah saves. The very name that she was to give her child was Jehovah saves. And He would save His people from their sins. Imagine that. Imagine the extent of God's grace to put His seed into the womb of a woman. That a young Jewish girl would bear this fleshly body, God saves. What a gift that God would envelop her with such grace and such favor, such salvation. You see, that's what overshadow means in Luke's writing. It means to envelop. God was going to envelop her, cover her inside and out with grace. She would be awesome, not because she was Mary, not because she was a virgin, but because she was the one that God chose to be the vessel to bring His Son into the world, to save the world, and become a great king. And Elizabeth says she was awesome because she believed the Lord. Is there anything, folks, too crazy or too impossible in your life for God to accomplish? I want you to think about something. Look at Mary's song of praise. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because He's been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. They'll compliment me, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. Remember that God is merciful. He's mindful of our situations to all generations. He's the Mighty One who has already done great things. He's mighty indeed. He brings down strongholds. He lifts up the humble, and He fills the hungry. Is there anything that He can do for simple souls like you and I today? In fact, there is. And He will. Because nothing is impossible with God, not even saving us in our sins. And you see, Mary knew that this Messiah was the Savior of the world. She knew that He was coming to save them from their sins. You see, folks, the extent of God's grace and His gift is for all generations and all people. His grace is His love given through a virgin named Mary. And it isn't a small gift. It's awesome. It's the greatest gift that we could ever ask for or imagine. And the fact is, He's already given it. All we have to do is receive it through faith. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that's greater than all our sin. And Luke's account of how God's grace came to you and I is the good news of Luke's gospel. That God came to save us from our sins born into the world from the womb of a girl named Mary, who was awesome because she believed God and accepted the job, the plan. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you accept it? In faith, do you believe in the virgin birth? Many people don't. It's impossible. It can't happen. The angel said, with God, all things are possible. It can happen, and it did. And in the same way, impossible things in our lives will happen because God is a God of grace, of favor. The angel declares in verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Mary's response is, may it be to me as you've said. I trust what you say is true. And her praise to God is for His mindfulness and His mercy and remembering His people and Abraham's descendants. Mary understood, and Luke wants us to understand in his account, in his orderly account, having researched everything, Luke wants us to understand that God's favor was His gift, His endowment from His treasury of grace and mercy and salvation to His people through Mary. Not because she was the Queen of Heaven, not because she herself was without sin. The Bible does not validate that at all. But simply because at a point in time God chose to grace her. That's God's grace. That's His gift that reaches across time to you and I today, not because of who we are, but because God chose to. And as Paul told the Ephesians, He chose to in accordance with His pleasure and His will, because simply it pleased God to do it that way. To choose an insignificant young girl to be His vessel. And she said, may it be as you have said. In every way, whatever seems impossible in your life, whatever God's plan might be for you, whatever's going on every day of your life, remember that nothing is impossible with God. That's what Luke was trying to say here. In the beginning of the story, this little boy was going to be born, and here's how it happened. And this is the way that it happened. And as crazy as it seems, Luke says, nothing is impossible with God. Let's pray. Dear God, sometimes we use the reason of the world to come to conclusions that things are impossible. Father, it seems impossible that you would reach down from your heavenly throne to insignificant earthlings with grace and with salvation and mercy. But you have. You said you would, and you did. You sent your Son Jesus that He might die for us. And we see that nothing is impossible with you. May we always sing praises to you as Mary did. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. No matter how impossible the situations might seem, we know that you're always in control. We know that you're always mindful. We know that you're always mighty indeed. And you will save your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn this morning, number 203, as we stand and sing together.